thanks for tuning in for another hashtag MoLedge podcast. Of course, this is Rachel Herndon Dunn. I'm editor of the Missouri Times. I'm here with both of our superstar reporters, Benjamin Peters. Thank you for being here this beautiful morning.
Oh, thank you. So nice.
And Alicia Scherr. Thank you also.
Thanks for the coffee.
Yeah. I find that bribery with caffeine is incredibly effective in the journalism world.
Sure.
We're trying really hard to make that a thing, and half the time I forget. Anyway, so right off the top, we've got the top five of last week. Top five stories most read online for the last 7 days. And this is the first week, I think, that Ben's story about...
state workers.
Yeah, about the premiums, the state worker premiums, is not in the top five most read during the week, so...
Congratulations, folks. You knocked it off. Be proud of yourselves.
Yeah.
Your viewership really does make a difference.
I will say it was the top story read yesterday.
So. It's kind of fitting on Labor Day, don't you think?
Anyway, so the most read story of last week was a feature that you wrote, Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah. On Brian Williams. He is replacing Maria Chappelle Nadal in SD14, asking, is he the next big thing for Missouri Dems? And I mean, just point blank, do you think your story says he is the next big thing for Missouri Dems?
I think that you have to walk away with at least a hint of that.
He's a pretty impressive guy.
Yeah. I will honestly say that after the interview, I was very impressed with some of his answers. And it's going to be very interesting to see how he fits into the role in the Senate. But at the same time, this is one of those guys who could be a little bit of a game changer for Democrats in the Senate. It's like, it's, I guess the best way I would explain it is that it's like you went and got a first round draft pick for your team.
No pressure there. No pressure.
But no, he's very calm, collected. He's thoughtful, and it's...
He's got some legislative experience. He worked for Congressman Clay.
Yeah, so, he's got experience. He's got a good attitude about this. So, yeah, it's something where it's going to be interesting to see how he pans out in the Senate.
I'm excited for him. I think he's fun. I think he's smart. Alicia, have you had the honor of meeting Mr. Williams yet?
I have not.
Well, I look forward to introducing you to him, even though it's usually been in the Senate. You guys can cross the other sides of the building if you want. In case you didn't know, Alicia usually covers the House, Ben covers the Senate, and I just wander around.
I've been thinking we should just drop the S from Senate and put a B there instead.
Bennett. So, the second most read story of last week, Department of Natural Resources challenges Administrative Hearing Commission in court, says AHC overstepped its authority. Now, this one's over my head, but I know two people on AHC, and they're some of the smartest attorneys probably ever. So, Alicia, you wrote this story. What's Ben? Ben wrote this story.
Yeah, about
the Bennett. I didn't write it. So what's going on there? Because I know there was a lot of people texting me about it, but last week was very busy for me, so I don't really understand what's going on.
The basic gist is that DNR had issued this stay. Well, no, they had issued a permit on this CAFO operation, and there are some complaints filed by neighboring CAFOs and whatnot. And then that went to the AHC. AHC went ahead and put a stay on that issuing of that permit. Well, DNR says, hang on, wait, that's not within your jurisdiction to stay that. You are here to provide, you know, counsel and what this, a completely different thing. But at the same time, they're saying that they overstepped their powers.
Interesting.
So we'll have to see how that one kind of plays out.
So this is a... policy, I would call it a transcendentalist thing, because it kind of just transcends anything that I would have ever fathomed. So I don't know if we've even covered something like this before, a department against a commission. Well, we have, obviously. But what's next here?
He goes to court with Beatem.
All right, well, fun times.
That's it. I mean, it's literally going to have to go before Beatem, and he's going to have to say whether or not the HC stay stands in place or not.
All right. Well, the top three most read story on the Missouri Times last week Amidst lawsuit over transparency, Missouri GOP blasts Galloway for deleted texts. Was this Shulish?
Hi.
Seriously?
Hi.
Where were you last week?
I don't know. In court?
Yeah, you were. Alicia spent most of last week in court thanks to some of you lovely people. Anyway, so this was one of those stories where I'm just like, Ben, the Republican Party just keeps lambasting Galloway over this court. We didn't attend the court, but did we attend that trial?
We were not at that particular hearing.
So the background, though...
There's a lawsuit against Galloway that was filed by the Missouri Alliance for Freedom. This goes back... it's been like a year
February?
Now.
I feel like it was very early this spring.
It's a 2017.
Yeah, it's a 17.
This was my time.
This was back whenever they filed this against Galloway, and they filed it something against Rob Schaff,
too. It was a sunshine request, right? Yes. And they wanted a ton of records, like even more than ever I would ever ask for, and I am a very generous sunshiner.
Yeah, so they're saying that they did not fully comply with that, and then Galloway's office is like, yeah, we gave you screenshots of text messages and like 40,000 pages of
That's
documents. But the Alliance for Freedom said that there should have been more texts in those documents.
And so this lawsuit's been ongoing for almost 2 years. So Galloway's been saying, and her like office has been saying, that she has that 1 year and they automatically delete text option.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, most iPhones come with an automatic delete on
and
after
you can,
1 year or 6 months. I don't remember what the timetable is, but that's a normal setting. So unless you
the auditor's not sitting there just deleting text messages.
No, it's
an automatic thing.
That's what they're arguing. I mean, realistically, could she have gone and deleted text? Sure. But how are you going to prove that without tapping into phone records? So that's the thing there. But
the Missouri Republican Party is now politically using it to attack Audrey Galloway, who's up for her first actual election as state auditor.
Mm-hmm. So their little statement after that hearing was that they said something along the lines of for someone who preaches about transparency, it's interesting that she's like so resistant to giving over those text messages or something along those lines. And they ended the whole statement by what's she hiding? So GOP definitely took an opportunity. I mean, it's one of those things where you can definitely make it bad press for the auditor.
Yeah, I'm kind of one. Did you guys follow the response on social media? How that, if that rang a bell? I'm guessing it rang a bell since it's the number 3 most read article from last week.
Mm.
But
no, it's especially on social media. It definitely turned into a thing. Plenty of people commenting on it from both sides. I would say that both sides had plenty to say on it. So
interesting. I mean, I will say it's kind of funny, like. In every executive transition, I have been told more than once, obviously, that if I'm expecting something from a certain department after there's been a new governor or a new lieutenant governor, that it's either going to take a while or not to hold my breath.
Yep.
So, generally speaking, expecting something like a text over a year old is, it's pretty ballsy, in my opinion.
A little bit.
At least from a journalistic point of view, like... I generally don't expect to be able to get anything over a year old, period.
I mean, from our experience, I'd say that when you try it still.
Yeah, you can totally try.
You definitely try, but...
It just depends how much you value your time.
Your expectations are never high for that. No.
Anyway, so the number 4 most read story on the Missouri Times last week is New Approach Missouri asked judge to dismiss lawsuit alleging unlawful signature collection method. And as of Friday, it was dismissed.
Yeah.
Right? This is Alicia's story. Yes. She was in court all of last week.
We made it to number 4 and we found an Alicia story. Just want to throw that out there.
Yes. It was basically the argument put up by New Approach Missouri was that it...
And this suit was from Brad Bradshaw.
Yes.
Who's part of... There's 3 medical marijuana lawsuits. One is Brad Bradshaw, one is a New Missouri, and one is
Missourians for patient care.
Right.
And Bradshaw is suing the other 2.
Right.
Bradshaw basically alleged that New Approach Missouri used unlawful signature collection practices, so it should be invalidated. New Approach Missouri was basically, well, we have case law that basically it doesn't matter how the signatures were collected, because they were already verified by the Secretary of State, the signatures, and that's where we're at, because, and the judge agreed with New Approach Missouri.
Very good. So, not that I wasn't paying attention, but for our listeners, what is Brad Bradshaw's lawsuit against Missourians for Patient Care alleging?
That they don't have enough signatures.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's straight up, there's one district that they were within 38 signatures of the necessary threshold. So he's just alleging that in that district, they didn't get it, and that 39 of those signatures were not valid.
Oh, that would be very convenient. I'm just saying. So number five, on the most read story on the Missouri Times last week, Governor Parson calls legislature back for special session on STEM education and drug treatment courts. So I went ahead and searched this because this is obviously a top story that we need to discuss. But before we get to that, I have an update. Last week, we talked about a lot of rumor mills and stories from other publications saying that there were 5 days left to challenge Sandra McDowell's place on the ballot as the Republican nominee for auditor. Obviously, that 5 days is up, right?
Yeah.
So that debate, discussion, rumor mill is gone, right? She is on the ballot for November, right? Okay. We have lots of nods
all around. Senorita.
All right. Okay, so not only top five story from last week, but the top story that we need to talk about today is special session. So the Governor Parson had vetoed Representative Kevin Austin's HB 2562 and Senator Doug Leiba's SB 894. And so Austin's bill, the treatment court one, and I feel like I found the veto letter. I did. It's gone. I don't know what I did with it. But there was just like a technicality there from the governor. And it should be pretty easy to fix, right?
Yeah. It really shouldn't be too much of an issue to
address. Here it is. There's literally two lines that the governor said that he disagreed with. One was that it would have changed basically a trespass law. And if I'm wording that wrong, that's fine. I'm very sorry. And the second one was the bill would also allow any judicial candidate to receive previous Mosher's benefits instead of the new judicial retirement plan. So, very interesting. Not saying it's not interesting, but even more interesting than that is the STEM bill. Senator Leiba has been very passionate about this. And wasn't this handled by Travis Fitzwater in the House?
Yeah.
Fitzwater is obviously a very passionate advocate for STEM education.
Well, in this particular thing with Fitzwater, he's a very tech-minded kind of person, yes. So it's right up his alley.
And so soon after this was vetoed by the governor, Leiba wrote a letter to the editor, which I would like to read a portion of. It's available in the Missouri Times. If you literally just Google Leiba and STEM on the Missouri Times, you will find it. There's a search bar in the top right corner. Anyway, so his letter says, right now, it has been reported that 11,000 jobs are unfilled, and that number continues to grow with a starting pay exceeding $60,000 a year. Early next year, I will be filing a replica of my 2018 Senate Bill 894 that was passed in the Senate and House dealing with computer science being offered in our K-12 schools as a graduating credit. SB 894 ultimately was vetoed by Governor Parson because of a concern his office had of the STEM House amendment attached to SB 894 that dealt with an online curriculum criteria that may have favored a single vendor. I know Governor Parson is a huge supporter of job training, and his veto of SB 894 was a hard decision for him to make. Next year, we need to make sure it meets the fairness criteria that both he and I consider very important. So I presume this amendment or a version of this amendment is probably not going to make it into the special session bill we will see next week.
Maybe, maybe not. I would think that it's the overall purpose of bringing this up in special session is about tweaking it to where it's not going to, like he said, favor a single vendor. And the way that this little amendment had been written, it was done with a lot of consulting from this group that had done STEM stuff in other states. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at that particular program and how that all works. So you get the sense there that, okay, well, they want to do something like that. They just want to make it to where it's a little bit more open and not favoring a single entity.
Right.
So I'd say it's a tweak more than anything else.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, STEM is an acronym, stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. Just FYI, there's a new acronym out there that keeps popping up on my Hulu because my kid watches a lot of TV. That makes me sound like a terrible mom. She likes TV. And she's actively running around and having a blast right now. But there's a new program with a new acronym that includes another letter anyway. But yeah, so that's what STEM stands for. And so that will obviously come up next week.
Yeah. We're all very excited for special
session. Very excited. I do find it interesting that special session like had an end date. Someone mentioned that to me that usually they call it for a certain day, but it's going to happen next week between Monday and Friday.
Yep.
It's going down.
Are you yelling timber?
I'm not yelling timber.
Where's Pitbull?
Upstairs. I was sleeping on the couch. That was kind of punny. I have a pit bull, in case you don't know.
A pit bull.
Her name is Betty, and she is the best dog in the world.
She's very sweet.
She's the best dog. So, also top story to discuss. Ozark Season 2 came out on Netflix yesterday. I haven't finished Season 1 yet.
I haven't started Season 1.
So
not either.
Here's my challenge to us. I think we should finish watching Season 1 and start Season 2. Because apparently it talks a lot about the Missouri legislature. Obviously not in our capital. I saw some screenshots that I think Eli Yokley had tweeted or something. Not our chandelier, not our Senate offices. But last week, Scott and I were in Miller County taping the Show Me Missouri episode of Miller County with Representative Miller, also with Don Steen and Tom Wright at the county. Apparently, Representative Miller was a consultant for Ozark. So I'm really curious what came from Miller and what ended up in the TV show.
It's a very interesting thing. It's probably time to put it the shining light on Rocky Miller.
Yeah.
Ask him the tough questions.
It really, yeah.
Don't let him leave the room till all of them have been answered.
Because there's never been once where I've sat with Representative Miller and been like, wow, he has a really dark view of the world and the legislature. No. He's like, I think he's a very positive and like fun person. And so whenever I watch Ozark now, I do not think, wow.
I like to say that I think that in our conversations between myself and Representative Miller, I'm usually the one handling the dark.
So. we are the dark side of Representative Miller. Anyway, if you haven't had a chance to, I recommend you can also subscribe to the Show Me Missouri
podcast.
Yeah,
it's a podcast.
You can record. Yeah, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is available in the podcast stores on Android and Apple, and you can ask for it at your local station, and maybe we'll get it to them. But yeah, so Miller County was up last week. Tomorrow, Scott and I go to Springfield to sit with Lincoln Huff, who will likely be joining the Bennett in January.
Let's trademark that while we can. Ben Senate.
You go do that.
The Bennett.
Okay, so next up, social media highlights. So I actually have something this time. And I talked about it a little bit in the Whispering Gallery email that goes out to our subscribers 99% of every workday. So Sean Nicholson, the campaign manager of Clean Missouri, and Senator Denny Hoskins from Johnson County had a pretty heated discussion about Clean Missouri over this Labor Day weekend, which I think is worth perusing. Senator Hoskins has joined the there's a like a coalition of Republican legislators who are opposing Clean Missouri for various reasons. Hoskins' biggest concern right now is that Clean Missouri would allow him to represent a district that's not all touching.
Yeah.
Nicholson
says, yeah, that's not true.
Yeah. The actual text of Clean Missouri does say shall be composed of continuous territory.
Right.
Contiguous. Contiguous.
Another
pronunciation is not my strong suit.
You learned it by reading. I will say there's another bit that's been debated more between Republican legislator opponents of Clean Missouri, and that's that it would allow potentially a professor or someone else to draw the districts, the legislative districts. Anyway, I'm looking forward to people continuing this discussion and revealing parts that they agree or do not agree with and why. So I would love it if you would let me know why you are or are not supporting Clean Missouri.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Let's let your toddler draw the maps.
You know, she's quite the artist.
She could be the state Democrat.
Yeah, I'm actually not opposed.
She tried to play soccer with a 120-pound Doberman Mastiff this morning. She can do that. She can do anything.
She's willing to fight for you. That's what we're trying to say.
She'll fight for someone.
If you have candy, you definitely helped your case.
Preferably chocolate.
Oh, God. I just said your child was bribe-worthy.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's important that we be honest with ourselves.
It's true.
And those around us. Anyway, so keep your eye on social media. If you're on the fence for Clean Missouri, I know there's a lot of people out there that are. Sean Nicholson definitely has a Twitter worth following because he is engaging, and I enjoy watching people engage on social media. Anyway, so thank you for that, Sean. Next up, Ben, is the Chiefs Minute. You're on the clock.
It's the best time of the year. It's football season starting this
real
Thursday.
Football season.
I'm so happy. This is all that matters. Nothing else matters this week.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Here's your news for the Chiefs. Obviously, they made it down to the 53-man roster. And here's the hot take. I have to tell you, I think the Chiefs are tapping my phone because they are making all the moves that I keep saying they need to move. So I'm quite pleased that the Chiefs are literally taking my advice for once. It feels good. Cornerback David Amerson is gone, as I hoped. God hates the Raiders, so former Raiders are included.
Yes.
And then Matt McGloin, the quarterback, is also gone, a former Raider.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of those Raiders. Nope. I like it. God hates the Raiders.
God hates the Raiders.
Yes. So, very pleased with that. But more importantly, game day is Sunday. That means Friday is wear your red. Show it off. Do it. It's game time. And that's your minute.
That was exactly a minute. Like, I'm so. Did you rehearse that in the mirror this morning?
I did, like, several times. I'm in the shower, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? It was great. I'm so talented.
The highlight of Ben's day is getting to talk about the Chiefs.
I mean,
it should be the highlight of a lot of people's day.
Yeah, if I had just a Travis Kelce minute, I'd probably take it. But I actually don't have anything to say about him right now, so that was an untrue statement, I guess.
K-State won their football game on Saturday.
Nobody cares, Alicia.
Savage. I'm sorry.
K-State. K-State. College
Alicia,
football.
Alicia has
K-State.
Questionable taste. Yeah. Mm. Congrats to Mizzou for winning. If you didn't, I'd be mad.
Yeah. Like.
Royals have won the last 5 games.
Yeah, they have.
So good for them.
And Cardinals seem to be getting their stuff together, too, once they change management. So we'll give them a little shout-out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, whatever. it's only like they've had several years to make the changes, and they didn't. Anyway, changing the subject so I can keep my job. What's hot? So obviously special legislation.
Legislative session.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the special session, that's hot. It's not controversial. Like last year, which is kind of nice. And I am, of course, looking forward to seeing everyone back in Jefferson City. Also hot, Scott and I are starting the planning and organization of the Best of the Legislature. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sad for you. Because in the fall 2017 edition of the Missouri Times Magazine, we released our first Best of the Legislature for 2017. So now we're working on the Best of the Legislature for 2018. And usually this has 8 members from the House, 6 members from the Senate, the people that really were leaders in the Capitol this last year, who were truly the best of both chambers, both classes, all the classes, I mean, in both parties. Anyway, so feel free to text me, email, beat me. I don't know how that works. Tweet me, whatever, who you think the best of the state legislature was this past year, and I'll write it down. But anyway, it is nominating time. Also, hot this week, Alicia and I will be making a veto session event map, which will be in the centerfold of the Missouri Times print out on Monday. We're going to get it done, guys. We're going to do it.
We are so excited.
There are 70, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which I'm so glad that we could put together the Capitol calendar for them so that they could very easily just read a list of all the events. But apparently they counted all the events on our Capitol calendar, and there's 70 lawmakers having fundraisers next week. So good for them for trying to get elected and keep their jobs. But Alicia and I are going to make something happen with that. She's looking at me with disdain right now.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking that the events, the fundraisers in the Capitol under Clean Missouri would not be able to happen because it's on state property.
No, they don't actually happen in the Capitol.
Oh, I knew that. I'm just going to drink.
You were just playing the devil's advocate, that's all. But yeah, you can't even sell booze in the Capitol. But I will say, what is it? Is it next Thursday? There's the Capitol Commission fundraiser. Mm-hmm. They have the Rydell wine tasting Wednesday. Again, and they sell tickets, and then you can get the wine.
I'm pretty sure they're sold, like, done.
So. Anyway, those tickets are $500 each, goes to the Capitol Commission. There's a Facebook event. If you don't know what Facebook is, you can just call Dana Miller, and she will help you help the Capitol.
I thought you were saying that Dana was going to teach them to Facebook.
Yeah, she might. She's a very helpful.
She's nice very lady. Helpful, but she's also a very busy person, guys.
Very busy.
You know, I think that there's other routes to learn about Facebook.
Yeah, just Google it if you don't. You know what? It's time for pick three. It's our three silly questions that are kind of relative to work. My first question for you, Ben. If your mom was running for office, who would you choose to hire her campaign?
Well, let's start off first that I hope my mother never runs for office.
Your mother's a saint.
My mother is a saint. I like that your does mom. Not mean she should be a legislator.
I just want everyone to know I've met Ben's mom, and I think that means he likes me.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I don't introduce my mom to a lot of people. So, I think I would have to say that Pat Thomas would have to run that campaign because somebody's going to have to tell mom what to do. And it's going to have to be every single
You think your mom would listen to Pat? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, she'll listen. I'm just saying that it has to be somebody who literally will tell mom what to do. My mom would be the equivalent of a chalkboard where you write on it what you want.
Nice. Okay.
My mom doesn't understand politics very well.
All three of us, I'm realizing as I ask this question, have very different mothers. So, Alicia, if your mother were here in this state, Missouri, where she currently is not, and she decided to run for, say, state rep, who would you hire? Most state reps don't actually have campaign manager. State Senate, who would you hire to run her campaign?
Well, first, I'd beg her not to run.
This question is...
You know, it makes me wonder how because non-political she, moms raised... Get out of here, Casanova.
She does not understand... policy or how politics works.
Okay. Maybe we need more of that.
Maybe the correct question here should maybe be if your dad was running for office.
Okay. Fine,
like,
I guess.
Like, my mom had no hand in the politics.
No. I think we need more moms in the state legislature.
My grandpa can run for office.
There you go.
Okay, fine.
Let's just do family members who would actually...
Ben, if you're very grumpy dad...
Oh, my dad would hire me as his campaign manager.
That's a conflict of interest.
I know it is, but it... He would need somebody equally grumpy to be sitting next to him. So...
You know, there's a lot of grumpy campaign managers out there.
You know, let's start naming off a few then. And I'll pick one.
Okay. Because, I mean, me personally, my mom has been very involved in teachers' unions over her education career. I don't know. Anyway, so she has a lot of feelings. And I think she, more than a campaign manager, he's like a shepherd. I think James Harris is very good at that. I think they would be, she would use him as a sounding board. And he would actually be able to navigate her. Because I would think of my mom as this, as a ship that just needs to be steered a little bit. probably not going to actually listen to you, but I think she would listen to someone like James. I will say that.
I would think, like with my dad, I think Aaron Baker might be a good fit to help my dad.
I think you might be right, because I was thinking about Baker, too, with my mom, because they are both very passionate about their churches, and I think that's like instant street cred with someone like my mom.
It'd work.
See. So if your grandpa were to run for office, Alicia, in Missouri. I guess for, never mind, I'm not going to make that joke.
Probably a, like, Pat Thomas. Like,
you go with Pat Thomas too?
Yeah.
Are we saying that all of our families are Republicans?
No.
My grandpa.
Because, like, if my brother was running, I would go with Jack Cardetti in a heartbeat.
Yeah. See, Dad could definitely roll with Jack too, though. My dad doesn't need somebody who's...
Do you know anyone who can't roll with Jack?
I'm sure I can think on long enough.
See, my grandpa needs someone that can talk farming with him. Like, that would be the big thing.
Okay.
And a campaign manager.
I will say if, like, my husband ran for office, I would want Barklage. Actually, I don't... Do you know if Brandon and David have met?
I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Now this needs to happen.
David, I think you might be listening. There's someone I want to introduce you to. Or not. I don't know. So, second semi-relative question. On our pick three, Ben, who do you think this... You know what? Alicia, who do you think the speaker frontrunners of the current House freshman class are?
I would have to go with either Gene Evans or David Gregory.
Both very popular people. And, of course, it also begs the question, is the Republican Party going to keep their majority? Which I think they probably are based on where things are polling. It's still plus nine lean. Ben, do you agree? Is it also going to...
I mean, down the line, if we're still a Republican-controlled legislature, then that would probably be the two I'd say most likely. But if it were to flop and switch sides... Gotta say Crystal Quaid's in the conversation then.
Because you think she's going to be in leadership in a few years? You think she's going to be in leadership next year?
I think I'm going to be really surprised if Crystal Quaid has not secured some form of leadership. Not saying that she's an actual position of leadership, but in terms of the caucus, she's already a rock star and she's already able to call some shots. So it's going to be a surprise if she's not doing that.
I just got a terrible idea. I think we should retitle the pick three to Rachel, Ben, and Alicia's burn book. Except it's not like a good burn book. I was just thinking about Mean Girls. I really like that movie.
I'm gonna go ahead and veto this.
Okay, we're gonna veto Rachel's.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a cold right now, so if you've got a cold too, I appreciate you listening to us, and I hope we're helping you get through your misery. And before I forget, this obviously will be up before lunch today. Scott has a This Week in Missouri Politics midweek update today at 2, I saw this morning on Twitter. He is apparently looking into his sign of knowledge, hopefully not too closely. I don't know. But apparently he's got something to say, so I would tune in for that. Maybe I won't mess it up today. Maybe he'll do it by himself. I don't know. But he is going to have a midweek update. It will be on This Week in Missouri Politics social media, as well as Scott's own personal Twitter, which is a great place to be if you like the Cardinals. And if you don't know what's going on in the MLB, it's just a really confusing place. At Scott Fawn. Anyway, third question. Alicia, who do you think is most likely to have king-size candy bars at their house for trick-or-treating? And we'll just go ahead and narrow this in. To Jefferson City, you know what? I don't care. Someone in Missouri politics. Can be elected, can be a lobbyist, can be a staffer.
Honestly, I feel like Jack Cardetti.
You think Jack is?
With his kids and...
Jack lives in Columbia. it would take a lot more than a king-size candy bar to get me to go trick-or-treating in Colombia.
Considering at my age, with no kids, I'm not going trick-or-treating.
I think Jeremy LaFavor, if he doesn't have king-size candy bars, he has, like, the good candy. He doesn't have that crap that, like, you just let go bad. I know, because I have a champagne bucket upstairs of candy from, like, 2 years ago, Parker's, that you know what you don't want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but Jeremy lives in an awesome neighborhood, and if you aren't familiar with Waldo and Brookside, that is, like, the place to trick-or-treat in Kansas City. It's level, unlike Jefferson City, which, like, I live on an 18% incline hill, so we don't get trick-or-treaters, which is awesome. Unless you want to send your trick-or-treaters to us, because I've been disappointed 4 years in a row now. I know it's the first week of September, but I'm really excited for Halloween. Ben,
do you have a costume ready?
No, I don't have a costume. I'm 30. But there's one at Home Goods.
Alicia and I just looked at you like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
That's because you are wrong.
There is a costume I want to get for Harper. There's two costumes, actually. We're going to have to do costume changes halfway through the day. But one is similar to the bear costume in Super Troopers, but it's a unicorn. But Harper would be the unicorn. So it's like, yeah, she like sticks her back legs in it. Really cool. The other one is she's a potted cactus. And like her feet come out of the pot. You just walk around as a cactus. Yeah, this is the best part of motherhood. It's just
so strange.
I just want to dress her up until she like can express her opinions to me.
She already expressed her opinions.
I'd say, if you think your kid's holding back, no, she's not. Oh no.
Oh no. Yeah. Maybe we'll have her as a guest on the podcast one day. But
I think we need to go back and address that you don't have a costume, but more importantly, that means that Alicia might have an idea. Is that what we're getting at?
Huh?
Wait, what's are you making me a costume?
I was not planning on making you a costume, no.
Oh, now you are.
Can I be a cactus with my feet coming out of the butt?
You can do it, Alicia. We believe in
That's what I want. Alicia knows how to, like, sew and do crafts. I'm personally not a fan of crafts.
I am a fan of crafts.
If you can't do it in Adobe Creative Suite, I can't do it, is basically what I'm telling you. Well, I can, but it's just so messy. I'm really good at buying things from Amazon, letting them pile up on my dining room table. So what are you going to be for Halloween, Alicia? Yeah,
I haven't decided yet. There are so many possibilities.
I mean, it's the first week of September, so...
Have you thought about going as a cow?
Maybe a cow judge. We'll get her some business cards.
Yes. Alicia Sherry, right. Cattle judge.
I mean,
she,
you wouldn't need business cards for such things.
I think you need business cards for everything.
So you're going to argue with your boss?
I'm about to make Parker business cards because all these kids like stop by the house and they're like, hey, good kids, Parker here? And I'm like, no, here's his phone number. And I have to write it down, so I'm going to make Parker some business cards just to save my own time.
Party with Parker.
So, Ben, obviously this is now a two-part question. Where are you trick-or-treating, and what are you dressed as?
I don't believe that I'll actually be trick-or-treating.
Where are you taking your nephew trick-or-treating, as far as Mo Ledge houses?
None of them.
Okay.
They don't leave Lynn, so... Unless, you know, Tom Hurst decides to move to Lynn, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, Ben, whenever you take my kids trick-or-treating, because I don't want to.
Well, in that case, when I take Harper and Parker trick-or-treating, we're obviously going to hit up Jay Barnes' house, Mike Bernskeeter's house, and Senator Kehoe's. So
I bet Kehoe's got that good candy.
All of them better have... king size candy bars. You are being put on notice right now.
There's a few houses in Jefferson City who just keep special packages for Parker. So I'm hoping that's continued this year. You know who you are.
If they want to do special packages for Ben and Alicia as well, that is also a great idea. We love candy.
Can I take you guys trick-or-treating?
If Ben dresses up,
Ben, yes. What are you dressing up as?
Please dress up, Ben.
What am I? I don't know. What I don't know what to dress up in.
I haven't
given it thought yet.
Your homework for this week is next week. We have to tell everyone what we're dressing up as for Halloween.
I don't want a homework.
Alicia, have you had a pumpkin spice latte yet?
Oh my god.
Though I was really
Ben's like, I've already had six.
I was really tempted to make pumpkin spice muffins this weekend.
Oh, those are good. Oh yeah, we were gonna make a bun and we didn't.
I was gonna do the thing and then I got distracted.
Can I tell you just how disappointed in humanity I am that it's abbreviated to PSL now?
See, that still confuses me. It just doesn't really work.
Here's your PSA PSLs.
Yeah, it's not just lattes. Like, butt cakes, muffins. I saw a biscuit bread on Tasty on Facebook. Also looked yummy.
Pumpkin spice.
Oh, crap. I haven't... Whoa. Is something going on right now, everybody? My phone's been down on the ground. Oh, okay. Somehow this recording hasn't even gone live yet, and people are sending me events for the veto session calendar. So, this is your last notice from me, aside from those who get the Whispering Gallery every day, who will be reminded again. Veto session events, if you want it on the calendar, if you want it on the map, please let me know before Wednesday. So, preferably today. Wednesday is fine, preferably before dinner time. Ben, do you have anything else you need to tell people?
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Play on Sunday.
Yeah.
Alicia?
Go K-State.
No. No. We're just going to nix no. that. You guys no, didn't no hear that. Cares. Let's play a game. It's called
No One Cares,
no
about,
one cares about Kansas.
Didn't they lose to like a D3 school last?
Are you trying to say you paid attention to something
I'm
that
saying
Kansas
other
did?
People did and it came up on
University
my Twitter.
University of
and I was
Kansas?
Like,
again,
they don't
recognize either.
We just
of these.
Pretend they don't have a football team because it's so sad.
Alicia, we just don't pretend there's a Kansas or a K-State.
Okay, actually, I do need to mention something. So UMKC is University of Missouri Kansas City, right? Does not have a football team. However, I think they have like a digital football team now.
Like a Madden team?
Like you can stream it. Team? You can stream it on Twitter. And their hashtag is GetRuined. Because they're kangaroos.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they played KU in digital fake sports. They won. So good for UMKC on their digital victory.
You know, we'll support any victory over Kansas. Nice job, guys.
I support Missouri's victory always. Any part of Missouri.
Bring back the border war.
Anyway, so my last bit is if you have anything interesting about Springfield and Greene County, let me know because we are headed there tomorrow to record Show Me Missouri, and I would love to add it to Scott's research to go through with some very special guests tomorrow. Of course, this has been Rachel. This is still Rachel. Ben and Alicia at the Missouri Times. Thank you so much for listening, and we will probably talk to you very soon because of special session.